What a way to wrap up our week. The best song to ever be produced and released. A rare get. Get Anthony Stewart on the line. Always big leagues us. Now he's coming on.
Does he big league us?
I don't know. Feels like it's been a while.
Not sure about the process there.
And he's our insider. Brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. It's Stewie, former NHL forward, current Sportsnet analyst. How's it going this morning?
I'm doing well. And I think the best Friday song is Friday by Rebecca Black. So next time I come on, I will
do it.
Okay.
All right. Thumbs down from behind the glass. They don't like that one.
Give me what I want.
Okay. Well, then if we get you on the show more, we'll give you what you want. All right. We just talked to Bobby Ryan. We got the inside scoop on your performance at the Owen Sound Hockey Day in Canada game. How would you rate the production and the athleticism that you put out there? Because then we'll tell you what Bobby Ryan had to say.
Well, athleticism was there. Fitness is probably at a 2 out of 10. The fitness, I got to work on the fitness. So it looks like I was wearing shoulder pads out there. They gave me the style wasn't great. They gave me the extra medium jersey, but Bobby can't be talking smack because I gave him a nice outlet pass for a goal. So I had 2 assists. I was playing some good defense. I was trying to get Ron a goal, but I give my performance probably a B-, which isn't bad for a guy that hasn't been in a game in about 2-3 years.
He did mention when we asked that you had crisp passes. That was his big circled advice in terms of us trying to chat about you and your play was crisp passes. You've been working on that when you go out on the ice and you run all these camps, just crisp passes to folks.
Absolutely. I got to practice what I preach, that and pucks in deep. And I think I only threw one Boston pizza up the middle. So that's why I give myself a B minus and not a B.
Last one, Ken Reed with a wheelie bag.
Oh, I think I bullied him. I think he got rid of that bag. That bag's in the trash can.
Okay, good.
Because you cannot. And I just saw the comments. It's like, my parents said, if I can't carry my bag, I'm not playing. I think there was like a 7-year-old on Twitter chirping. So I think that bag's gone. Carry your bag.
He had no safeguard, right? Like, he probably bought that bag for himself. But it's on the parent. It's a parenting move. You don't get the wheelie bag.
Sportsnet bullied me out of my BlackBerry. I'm happy I was able to return the favor.
All right. Well, glad that you put it up. A good performance. Proud of you representing the squad here. Also, just want to ask you about your Kingston ceremony where you got your jersey raised to the rafters with your brother, honored in the pregame ceremony. It was on January 14th. Congratulations. And how was all that?
No, it was great. It was great to go down there and share it with family and friends. I think we had about 14 hotel rooms of people down there. So we had an amazing time to bring a Scarborough flavor to Kingston, but to share it with my brother who, you know, I always tell the story of him who went as undrafted OHL walk-on because he was a football player, decided, hey, you know what, I'm going to play hockey now. To go on and have a great career, putting up almost over 200 points with the Frontenacs and going on to play 650 games. Everyone asks me, what's my greatest accomplishment? It's giving my brother an opportunity to get back in the game that we all love.
Oh, I love that. Speaking of numbers to the rafters, though, Ilya Samsonov's might be on the way. He's been really, really good. He's kind of taken the number one mantle in that Leafs crease. Is he different? Is he different than the Leafs goaltenders that have failed previously? Is he different than Matt Murray? Is he a legitimate guy?
Well, I think this was by design, right? When they signed him and traded for Murray, because you know a lot of them, the jury was out on just sort of their play and the consistency part. But when one guy would falter, the other guy would be stepping up and playing well. And since he's come in relief of Murray a couple of weeks ago, he's been playing, you know, some great, great hockey. And you know, there's been sort of the jury out about his game and being a little bit, floppy in the crease, but he's been solid. He's been solid. And, you know, what I like about them is stepping up in this market. It's a tough, tough market with the media. And every time he has a bad game, the mic's in his face. So him to be able to handle that off the ice and step in and play great on the ice, it's great. So I think I'm in the matrix, though, because 2 weeks ago we were talking about them bringing in another goalie. So
yeah, we definitely were.
It's ups and downs in the season, but again, he's been pretty even keel right now. What is it, game points and 15 straight at home? That's great. So they're going to need him now in the playoffs. But at the same time, don't count Matt Murray out. You know, he was playing some great hockey before and after his injury. I'm sure he's going to gain the crease back. But anyway, you dice it, when you have two goaltenders that are playing solid hockey, give them a chance to win, that's what Maple Leafs need right now for them to be successful, especially in the playoffs.
Yep, 29 of 30 possible points the Leafs have secured with Ilya Samsonov in goal on home ice. It's been a really, really fruitful, at least at Scotiabank Arena. We've been talking about, like, confidence all year with the Maple Leafs. We're talking about, like, Mitch Marner riding that point streak and the confidence it gives himself and the group. But confidence in a goaltender is like a really, really important thing, right? You're trying to, if you can believe in the guy that's back there, you can believe that everything you're doing from shift to shift won't be undone by the goaltender. How much does confidence in a goaltender mean to a hockey team?
It's a big, big part of it, right? And you see the system that they sort of had to start playing once they had all those injuries to the defense, where they had to have that lockdown defense. And, you know, you can play as great defense as you like, but if the goaltending's not making the saves, especially at the right time, that all collapses. So for them to weather that storm and get past that, that showed that they had confidence in their goaltenders. And, you know, I played with some goalies where they let the first shot in of a period or the last minute of a period. That's a faux pas where you're like, oh, man, like, make a save. So it's not about the quality of the save, just the timing sometimes. So that's the one thing I know that's been improved with these goaltenders now. They're not letting in those untimely goals. They're making the right saves at the right time. And as a defenseman or as a team, you know, when you know your goaltender is going to bail you out a couple of times, that gives you the confidence now to not have to necessarily play that lockdown defense, because it's very, very taxing. It's very, very mentally tough to do that for a full 60 minutes. You want to be able to, you know, play a little bit of a running gun or take an opportunity to, you know, maybe cheat a little bit on the offensive end. So once you have that backstopper that's playing great and just doing his job, it makes it easier for everybody.
All things considered, Matt Murray getting his first start in 10 games, the way that he's kind of had a tough stretch here in January and before that, the fact that it's his old team, the fact that Ilya Samsonov has kind of stolen the crease from him, is this his most important start as a Maple Leaf?
You know, maybe for us, right? But
true.
Again, when he came here, I'm sure he has a clear understanding, and you heard what Keith said, where the plan is for them to rotate back and forth. And again, I think that's really going to be the case probably until about game, you know, 55 or 60, right? So I think there's going to be another 2-3 weeks where he's going to have a chance to round out his game. And again, you know, you don't become a Stanley Cup champion, you know, by accident. You know, he's a solid goaltender. I think for him, it's just staying healthy and playing those games and winning those starts. So for tonight, he has a great opportunity against his former team. And again, I would not be surprised for him to, you know, in the next segment or the next two segments, maybe for him to play back-to-back, because that was the design here. And I don't think they're really going to start hammering down on who's going to be the clear-cut number one until, you know, the last segment of the season.
So you were big on the Sens, I think, in the preseason.
Twitter's not fake news on
we
Twitter.
We got the receipts.
Where's Elon?
But you were, and I was, you know, I wasn't in disagreement. I was excited for the potential this Sens season. What's been the biggest point of disappointment so far for you?
I don't know. They're in games, but they almost just found ways to lose. You know, you obviously saw the Josh Norris injury and him coming back and done for the season. And I was really expecting him and DeBrincat to click, right? So you see DeBrincat, what he was doing last year, scoring 41 goals. And, you know, I think he's only at 15 right now, too. But I think maybe just overall, maybe the goaltending, I can't really pinpoint what the issue was. But again, they just, all those games, they just seem to find a way to lose. But they're an exciting team to watch. And, you know, their team, despite probably not making the playoffs, they're dragging themselves into the fight. You're seeing Brady Tkachuk drop the gloves, Austin Watson. They're playing that tough brand of hockey. But, you know, I'm happy to see players like Giroux find some success right now. And people thought that he was on his parachute contract. We're just going to fade off into the sunset. He's playing at a high level, scoring some big goals as well, too. So I thought that was going to be a recipe for success. You have Shabbat and Stutzla and Pinto and some of these great young players that I thought they were going to squeak in. I thought they'd be probably where Buffalo is. But, again, that's not the way it is. But, again, I'm excited for the future. They're going to be a team to be reckoned with for years to come.
So one of the big stats making the rounds this week is the fact that Austin Matthews is leading the league, or leading forwards at least, in shot blocking. What do you make of that? Is that like concern? Why is Austin Matthews blocking shots at a rate that no one else is in terms of forwards in the NHL? Or is that progress? Is that just show that he's, you know, always in the right spot defensively and he's getting in shooting lanes? Like, what do you glean, or how do you interpret that stat that all of a sudden Austin Matthews is leading NHL forwards in shot blocking?
Well, you know, everyone that's on the gymnastics team at the Olympics, you know, whether you're doing the uneven bar, the floor routine, the uneven rings, you know how to do a backflip, right? So regardless of what your role is in hockey, you know how to play defense and you know how to block shots. So, you know, I think with Matthews, is he you know, going two pad stack blocking with his face? No, he's challenging shots or sitting in that pocket trying to, you know, block it and go the other way. So I think for him, what that does now just sort of sends a message to the rest of the team, because here's a guy that's a 50-goal scorer playing at both ends of the puck, doing whatever it takes to win. If I'm a middle six or bottom six player saying, hey, you know what, I'm not putting up points, you got to find a way to carry your weight and do something for this group. So that's leadership right there. So, yeah, is he trying to do, you know, the Felix Pop band blocking with his hand? No, but that's part of the game. You block shots. But if you're going out there worried about not getting hurt, guess what? That's when you get hurt in the National Hockey League. So the fact that he's playing hard, you're going to be blocking shots sometimes. But like I said, is he on the PK, you know, going down, blocking a Shea Weber one-timer? No. But he's playing the game the right way, and that's what this team needs. You need everybody playing, doing whatever it takes to win games, and Matthews is leading right now, and I'm happy to see him block some shots. So I know people don't agree, but I like it. I like it.
And it seems like it's surprising, because it's not like he's recklessly putting himself in shooting lanes. Like that, like I haven't seen that all year. I've been like, oh, why is he doing, like, a couple of block shots, you're like, oh, you're like wincing a little bit, but it's not like he's going out of his way. At least it seems, it does seem like a product of strong defensive play. But one thing I've always marveled with Matthews is like, and other players around the league, is like, there are guys that are so smart that they avoid situations where they could get hurt. Like, how many times has Austin Matthews been high-sticked? I don't know if that's a product of not going to the corners. I don't think that's the case. I just think he's a little bit more in control of things and sort of avoids those situations where he might put himself in danger. Like, is that a skill, staying healthy? Is that a skill, staying out of, situations that might be considered hazardous or precarious? Like, is that something that good players do, keep themselves clean?
Yeah, I think Phil Kessel runs a course of that in the offseason. I think Matthews attends that, but
That might be a different kind.
I think it's just being cerebral, of knowing where everybody's on the ice, the timing, when to be in a lane, when to be out of a lane, right? So I think for him, it's more likely it's going to go off his shin pad and he's going to go out the other way. And when the Matthews is on the ice and as a defenseman, if I'm winding up for a big shot and I know he's in the lane and he's coming at me, chances are I'm going to take something off it or put it in a different area because I'm at risk of him going the other way. So I think it's just more so a timing, and he's so smart out there. He knows where to be at the right time. Marner's the exact same way, especially on the penalty kill. You know, he's more of a threat to go out the other way on offense than, catch a shot. So, again, injuries is part of the game. You can't worry about that. But like I said, I'd be a little bit more concerned if he's laying down on the ice and, you know, he's getting hit in the ear flaps, or, you know, he's going down. He seems to be standing in the lane every time, and I think he's got a really good timing on how to do it and when to do it.
So you mentioned Matthews and Marner, both headed down to the All-Star game next weekend, but not William Nylander. Snubbed from the All-Star game?
Yeah, but the system's flawed, but what are you going to do? I think it's great that we're having that conversation with him. And again, he's been the unsung hero, I think, of this team. Just seeing him score some big goals at big moments. And, you know, we talk about him every single shift. He's doing something. He's a threat to score. He creates his own offense. We're talking about the Islanders, or, you know, where's the goals? Where's the beef? And, you know, if they had a player like Nylander, you know, you'd really see, you know, what type of player he is. So in my opinion, I think he's an all-star. He's going to be on pace for 85, 90 points, 40-plus goals. He should be at the game, but I think he probably earned the break. So, you know, maybe he'll be down in Bahamas or something like that,
maybe
working on
his tan.
I'm looking forward to his tan when he comes back.
Has Timothy Liljegren reached indispensable status for the Maple Leafs?
We got all the hot takes today. he's a really good, solid young defenseman. You saw his big goal, tying goal the other night. He had an assist as well, too. But what I like about him is him and Sandin are pushing the conversation. Do the Leafs really need to go out there and make a big splash on the back end? And them weathering that storm, as I talked about before, with all those injuries, playing solid top 4 minutes, I think it's a really solid question that the Leafs are going to have to contemplate. Because, you know, the one thing I was worried about Liljegren was he should have got this experience last year. Where would he be in his development if he got that last year, where there was less at stake? So for him to step up with this big moment with a lot riding on this season, you know, 13 points in 38 games, averaging almost 19 minutes, you know, he's proving that he's a big time National Hockey League player. But we're going to be talking about it soon. Well, what's his number going to be? Can the Leafs afford him? So I'm not looking forward to that. He's playing some great hockey. And again, I'm sure the Leafs management's really, really happy, and the coaching staff with his play as well.
All right. If you like the hot takes approach, how hot is this one? Morgan Riley is becoming a big issue with the Toronto Maple Leafs defense.
No. Everybody, like I say, it's like international ice hockey game on Nintendo. Everybody, you need a chubby guy, you need a skinny guy, you need a mid-level guy. So, and that goes with regards to contracts. He is a $7 million defenseman on this team. You know, everyone forgets about his body of work and what he's been doing over the years. And I think the play of some other players at lower numbers, I think have made some people question that. But this team, and you ask anybody in this room, Morgan Rielly is a leader. He is the leader, and he's a big, big part of this team. So, yeah, would you like to see him with a couple more goals? Yes. Would you like to see him drive the offense a little bit more? Yes. But, again, he's a big, big part of this club, and I think you're going to see his value in the playoffs.
All right, we got to do it every time because it may change from week to week. In your assessment right now, the Leafs' biggest need before the trade deadline is what?
Ooh, Matthew Nyes to come in and do what he needs to do.
Oh.
So again, I know that's a lot of pressure. I know that's a lot of pressure for a guy coming in college. And, you know, I'm hearing the armchair GM saying you need to trade him for this guy or that guy. But, you know, the record of do the math. I want to know the analytics on players that get traded at the deadline that actually come in, do a good job, perform above their cap hit, and then re-sign. I bet you it's very, very low. But this Matthew Nyes kid, he's going to come in. He's going to be a star. So whether he does that this year or next year, I could see him stepping in, playing some big, big minutes. Big, fast, strong, can score up and down the walls. So when you do that assessment, who does that fit the narrative for? Toronto Maple Leafs top six. So I could see him stepping in and having a big, big role in the late season and into the playoffs.
So if I'm twisting your words, that's a definitely don't under any circumstances deal this kid?
Hey, Stu approved. Do not do that.
Okay. The bye week, I think, was implemented about 5-6 years after your last game in the NHL. But if it was around when you were an NHLer, what would a bye week have looked like for you?
A lot of sleeping. And I actually got busted one time because we were making our all-star plans in the dressing room, and I was basically showing what I'd be doing in the pool, chugging a bottle of tequila just as the coach walked in. And let's just say it didn't go over too well.
So, yikes.
Which coach was
but,
that?
I got to be an example for the kids. So a bye week, I'd be in the gym, mm-hmm. drinking lots of water, doing mm-hmm. my sit-ups, push-up routine, rest and relaxation.
I mean, that's a given. That's what we do every weekend, after our show every day, before you're on the panel, just beacons of health here at Sportsnet. Okay, speaking of the All-Star game and the changes that they've done at All-Star weekend, looks like they're doing a dunk tank on the beach. Who most would you want a dunk tank at Sportsnet?
Whoa, that is a hot take question. Let me see. You know what? And again, he's been great. One of my best friends and one of my biggest supporters, I think, in the company. But I love to see Elliot Friedman's hair after he came in. He would come in. He'd probably look like an avatar coming out. It'd be glistening in that Florida sun. I'd have to say Elliot.
And one of his nice plaid suits too, right? Like he's got to be fully like a three-piece, they call those things, right?
Yeah. He would just do one spin, dry right off, and be ready for the show.
He'd be like, while I was in the dunk tank, I actually heard mumblings that Carlson is on his way.
Whales and the manatees. Tell me about just make sure making a move.
Make sure the phone isn't in the pocket.
Yeah. Well, we can't have him lose his phone.
If that
right?
phone's in the pocket, then he's going to be missing out on all the scoops.
All right, Stewie, appreciate you joining us. Fun as always. Looking forward to some of those GIF memes, face things that you do. It's been a while since we got one of those.
All right. Thanks a lot. Go Leafs, go.
See you, Stewie. There's the plunk again.
We know.
Big Skype day for us. Anthony Stewart, former NHL forward, current Sportsnet analyst, wants a dunk. Elliot Friedman and our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
Speaking of, said beacons of health here at Sportsnet, it's a big bougie gym day for you yesterday.
I went to a studio in Toronto that does Pilates, and Justin is outraged by how nice the studio looked.
It's one of those places where you like, it's like latte when you come in, protein shake
happen,
on the way
and
out.
And that also didn't happen.
Just don't lie.
Okay. You can go. I'll get you a pass. The problem is everywhere you want to go in Toronto needs to have some sort of...
It's got to be Instagrammable.
That's the way that it works right now. There's so many studios, Pilates, spin, yoga,
the question
boxing.
Is like, what happened to just like an honest, you know, away from the spotlight gym session?
And I agree. I grew up going into those. Just like an athletic gym.
I guess there are like, you know,
the lower
end gyms. I guess they still do exist, but in Toronto, it's like everything, you got to be paying through the teeth if you want to work out in the city.
Definitely. And you have to go to a place that is,
although you said it was pretty affordable,
aesthetic and also has some sort of social media presence. And because that's how people, like, it's word of mouth. If you see some, oh, that looks like a nice place, let me go there. There's like, I don't know, 200 options for yoga in the city. How are you going to know which one to go to? It's a whole marketing scheme in the city of Toronto. So yeah, I went to a gym yesterday. Sorry for caring about my health and wellness.
You don't have to apologize to me.
But I will say a lot of locations that are popping up are more than just like, here's your workout. It's about the whole experience. Mm-hmm. It's a holistic environment, and there's, you know, really nice stucco walls, mood lighting, eucalyptus towels. Like that's the standard now.
So if you go to a place,
no, I'm agreeing with you, but I didn't choose like.
But you got a good deal in that place.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm not giving free marketing.
Best of both worlds.
You know, there's some good spots out there.
Yeah, you kind of did on your social media.
Yeah, but I'm not doing it on the radio. Go look it up.
Okay.
It was good. I'm happy about it. I feel very sore this morning.
What is Pilates entail?
God.
I don't even know.
It's hard, Justin.
What is it like? What are you doing?
Well, it's like.
Is it just like enhanced yoga? Like strength yoga?
It's a strengthening. This was body weight. You can do it on the reformer where it's like the machine.
That's the thing that terrifies
nuts.
Me.
I will never do that.
It's called a reformer?
Reformer, yeah. It sounds.
It's pretty aggressive.
Scary, right? But this aggressive. Is just like on the mat, but this was also 110 degrees Fahrenheit in the room.
Oh, it's one of those where they jack it up.
You're just disgusting at the end.
Oh, I would be
dehydrated
like,
beyond belief.
I feel like the most disgusting I can be as a person would be
at
30 minutes
event.
Into hot yoga. Like I would just be gross.
And like it's very small movements. Like it's like you're in a, like let's say you're in a core position, then you're pulsing in a very small movement. Your body's wrecked. Like I had to stop so many times. I thought it was a throw up.
Wow.
It's hard. We should go one time.
Might be the
Didn't
next.
I sell it?
If we're doing like focus punishments, if I had to go to a yacht?
Whoa!
A yacht hoga.
Oh, who's bougie now? Justin's going to yacht.
No, I said yacht hoga. A hot yoga. If I had to go to a hot yoga class, I feel like that would be the ultimate punishment for me. Not that I'm asking.
You used to be a letter 45 guy.
That wasn't cryptic at all.
Letter number guy.
Yeah, yeah. I used to go to the bougie gym,
that's
too.
That's bougie.
It's less bougie.
And that's expensive.
It can get a little expensive. I'm out of that game now, though.
Yeah. Well,
getting fat and happy.
You know what I like? The gym here at Rogers. It's just an athletic gym.
See, that's a real gym.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Sometimes you need to treat yourself, okay?
Okay.
Anyway, let's treat ourselves, hopefully by winning some money with the Wake and Rake. Leafs, Sens, Raps, Warriors, pick a side. We're going to do something. The guys behind the glass actually extended an olive branch to us.
I was shocked, honestly.
This morning, we obviously chat before the show, and we're screwed. It's 30-25. There's just no chance for us. And Daniele said, well, why don't we also add a couple prop bets for you? Like, you know, we're going to do the pick a side. There's two games.
Like, we resigned. It was over.
Yeah,
we were like, okay, you guys won on Monday.
The towel. But he's opening up the door for us.
It's almost like he wants to prolong this torture.
I think he does. Anyway, it's very nice and kind of them to allow us to also pick three prop bets from any game, anything you want, touchdown scores, over-unders, blah, 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 blah. You can pick whatever you want. So we get three, they get three. And those would just be worth 1 point. So there is a potential for us to really make some ground up here.
Make some hay. It's not over yet.
We can do this.
Yet.
So now, not only are we doing two pick-a-sides, but we're going to have three prop bets as well. So
we'll do that. We'll tee up the Leafs and Senators. We'll tee up the Warriors and the Raptors. Lots of good things to go through, of course, with our anchor submissions. That's all next on the Wake and Rake and the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Breaking down the top stories in hockey and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
All right, let's do it, Justin. Come on. This is it. This is where wins become losses losses become wins. It's the witching hour.
Scott Hansen, baby.
This is it. It's time for the most important pick aside we've ever done.
And now it's time for Pick Aside on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Greetings, boys. How are we today?
Swell.
Ugh, I don't like the tone already.
There's like a real...
I can feel it.
There's a level of confidence that's unmatched here. Like, he just comes on and he knows he's got us.
Pours out of the microphone, doesn't it?
Just completely wrapped around his finger.
But we will respect and once again, thank you for giving us an opportunity.
So charitable.
I know, but the karma's too good, you know?
Well, it's for the listeners. It's to make it more fun and interesting. That's the idea.
Okay.
Appreciate it. That's good producing.
Any like other opening salvos? You have anything to say before we get into it?
No.
So
we're good.
I'm seeing Eagles -3 and Chiefs -1.
We're up to 3?
That's what I'm seeing right now. Is that what you're seeing?
Hold up. That's a big change.
I was 2.5.
Okay, so we'll go 2.5.
Let me just go see where I'm at.
We'll pick the same book.
I've got 2.5.
Okay, so 2.5 is 2.5. But I'm seeing it at 3 somewhere else. I'll tell you about that later.
Well, that might be time to bet the 49ers at 3.
Yeah, totally. Okay.
Or at least consider them in the live market. Okay,
so I am flipping
the coin.
Have you used the same site every time?
I mean, it's a computer-generated coin.
Yeah.
They are heads.
You guys, they picked heads?
No, they are heads. It's the only power I have is I assign.
So we're heads, you're tails.
I assign them to heads.
Okay, so we're tails.
And we are flipping tails.
Oh, my God. Okay.
We are going to pick the first game between the Eagles and 49ers, leaving the Chiefs and Bengals to Daniele and Josh. You know where I'm at on this.
And I'm in the same boat.
I mean, I just said that I would consider San Fran at 3. But at 2.5...
Get it. Do it.
It's
lock
the
it.
Eagles, right?
Yep. It is the Eagles.
Eagles. I think there's a chance the Eagles absolutely blow them out, run away with it, score early often, and Brock Purdy is not equipped to throw his way back into a football game, at least I don't think, especially against the Philadelphia Eagles. So as long as this is 2.5, I'm all Eagles. If it goes to 3... Maybe I'd consider it, but it feels like the Eagles should be winning this game by a field goal, at least in my eyes.
All right. That's our pick.
Nice. Kansas City Chiefs at home, -1.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, this line was interesting because it flipped, obviously. It was the Bengals favored, and then obviously the Mahomes stuff with he looked okay, he's practicing, whatnot. This screams it's too easy. The Bengals are a trendy pick. And everybody loves the Bengals because they beat the Buffalo Bills and they did it decisively and handedly. And also that Joe Burrow has been incredible in the playoffs. Well, you know what? It's Patrick Mahomes and it's January and they've been very good in the playoffs. 5th straight AFC championship game appearance. This is a team that at home a lot of people are looking at right now and saying, oh, Cincy, it's all about the Bengals are going back to a Super Bowl again for the 2nd straight year. Maybe redemption story arc of going to win it. I don't know. I just find it hard to believe that, you know what, Patrick Mahomes, he's still that guy.
Four straight against Mahomes does seem hard to believe, but if they were going to be, I mean, they've been, the Kansas City Chiefs have been stronger favorites in all 3 of those games, I believe, than they were
probably
in this one. So we'll see if the Bengals can do it for a 4th time. Ailish, would you have picked the Bengals? I would have picked the Bengals.
I would have picked the Bengals.
You would have picked
everybody's
the Bengals. So we get
everybody's
what we want.
On the Bengals.
Out of curiosity, what would you have picked between the Eagles and 49ers?
Oh, the Eagles.
Eagles,
okay,
for sure.
So we got, I think we got maybe the upper hand in terms of we got both games that we wanted. They've got 1 out of 1, so I don't know if that means anything. It probably doesn't, but we at least got what we wanted.
Okay, so let's, we'll give our 3 prop bets and then... You guys want to give yours? Just like rip through them?
You guys can start it off if you're ready to go.
Do you want to go 1 by 1?
Sure.
Let's do 1 by 1 then. We're going to go first, you said?
Yeah,
okay.
Why not?
All right. Travis Kelce over receiving yards, 78.5. He's had 95 or more in 7 straight playoff games. He had 14 receptions last week. So the 78.5, I think, is honestly a generous line because of the history he's had in the postseason. That spans what? I don't know. It's like 2 postseason runs now. Maybe even a little bit longer that he's had at least 95 or more receiving yards, which is crazy. So the consistency is there and he's going to be involved. So I think 78.5 is a very, very kind number.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a reasonable play. It's Travis Kelce's been one of those guys that's unmarkable. And the Cincinnati Bengals, I guess if they have any weak spot, it might be, you know, on the corners. But Travis Kelce is a problem for every team. We're going to kind of double down and make the Eagles a bit of a power play because we're going to take the Eagles first half line. I believe it's minus a half right now. That's where I saw it last. Ailish, if you want to pull it up for us. I just think the Eagles are going to be front running in this game. So the Eagles at a minus 110 on the first half line screams like a good bet to me. I think Kyle Shanahan's going to be ultra conservative early in a tough environment, try to limit the possessions, try to make this game a little bit more variable based on, you know, fewer plays, fewer big plays, and maybe some chance. So I think the Eagles are going to be able to put themselves in front, whether it's first quarter, first half, and it'll be on Brock Purdy to win a close game late if the 49ers are going to go to the Super Bowl.
So you want to do the spread, not just the first half money line?
What is it at now?
So
if it's under a field goal, let's take the spread.
It's not under a field goal.
What is it?
1.5.
That's under a field goal.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said it was at 0.5 when you read it.
It was 0.5
earlier
in the week.
That's what I was answering.
Anything under a field goal, we'll take the Eagles to be up by 3 or more, or, you know, 2 or more.
I'm trying to figure it out, but
it's okay. You don't have to write it down. That's available.
But I was going to give you the stats on it because I thought you wanted to go money line. Doesn't matter. Either way. Eagles have hit the first half money line in 14 of their last 18 games. So it is a proven.
Jalen Hurts gets
nice
work done early. I think even. Did the Giants somehow cover on the second half? It might be like the Eagles did everything in the first half in their last victory, and then they went into cruise control. Not that it'll be like that this time, but I expect them to have a good start again. Okay, boys, your next one.
Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown. I think it's like plus 130 right now. Around there, depending on what book you're using, obviously, but he's the goal line back effectively. So this guy's always finishing off drives and running into the end zone. And so Jalen Hurts, anytime touchdown, it rarely ever fails.
Ailish, you want to go next?
Sorry, I'm just writing all these down. Anytime TD
for Jalen Hurts.
Well, your next one's yours.
Okay, I'll go next.
Yeah, this one's yours.
I'm going to go Joe Mixon over 59.5 rush yards. Kansas City's run defense in the regular season, pretty good. I think they were 8th best in the league, giving up 107 rush yards per game on average in the playoffs. And again, it's only been a game, but they were pretty susceptible on the ground. And I think a lot of what Kansas City's going to try to do is run the ball, establish the ball, play, you know, extending drives, long drives where it's like 18 plays to get into the end zone. I think Joe Mixon's going to be a big part of this. I think the run game's going to be a big part of this game overall. I think Pacheco's a decent look, but I have more trust in Mixon running the football and getting over 60 yards.
Okay, so our last one, we're going to just keep riding the Patrick Mahomes train. Patrick Mahomes over passing yards, 279.5. It's a big number. I don't care. It's Patrick Mahomes. Rarely ever want to invest in Patrick Mahomes because the numbers get inflated sometimes just because of who he is. But again, I'm just on the Chiefs this week. Just feeling the Chiefs. I don't know. Something about them. Something about Kansas City.
That's kind of what we need. We need you to get involved in one game and hopefully it goes south. I guess
were thinking a little differently for that.
Maybe the under because, hey, maybe he only plays 3 quarters. Maybe there's a little aggravation injury.
Oh, come on.
No.
I'm thinking if there's any point that number exists, that number, if he starts the game, it's a bet. It's on. He needs to cover a number. And to cover that number, he probably has to play 4 quarters. He has to be involved in every drive. I think there's a chance that he takes a hit and might be banged up at one point.
No, he's going to play that game.
We missed a full drive in the last game. If he gets hit the same way, if he aggravates the injury, he might miss time. Maybe they sit him for a fourth quarter if they're comfortably ahead. I don't know. But I was thinking the under because there's a possibility that a guy who's being priced at full health goes under the total.
So my first, when we talked about prop bets, I said over passing yards for Patrick Mahomes.
And I said under, and that's why we didn't pick it.
And then I also said under rushing yards, but that's actually not available anywhere right now because they're trying to figure out what his situation is. But I would definitely bet under rushing yards. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. But I liked the one that the guys picked, so we'll see. Okay, I'm going with a touchdown prop as well. Ja'Marr Chase anytime touchdown. So I want to have some, like, I want to have one touchdown to cheer for, as I always do that. He's Burrow's top target. He's got 25 receptions and 417 yards, four touchdowns in three career games against the Chiefs. He's been dynamic in the playoffs, 6.5 receptions per game. He's got a lot of opportunity to get a touchdown in this game, and I think he's going to be a main target, and I want to cheer for at least one person to get a touchdown, and it's going to be him because we're Bengals team here.
Okay, yeah, we're slanting Bengals. They're slanting Chiefs. We'll see see who's right in the end.
All right, let's do it. Let's just run through that one more time. So we have Eagles minus 2.5. You guys have Chiefs minus 1. That's our pick aside. We have Eagles on the first half spread. I can't find the number, Justin.
It's all good. It's all good.
Inept.
It's 1.5. It exists.
Okay, 1.5. Mixon rushing yards over 59.5 in a Chase anytime touchdown. And you guys have Kelce over 78.5 receiving yards, Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown, and Patrick Mahomes over 279.5 passing yards. Best of luck. And it's just 1 point each and no, like, alternative. Like, nobody gets a loser point. You understand? Like, we don't get it if you don't get it.
I'm seeing the Eagles first half minus a half point, minus 120. I think you could get better than that, but whatever.
Okay, so that's what we're doing. Perfect. All right. Best of luck, guys. Not best, but just some luck. Okay, Leafs and Sens tonight and Raptors and Warriors. Let's do Raptors and Warriors first. Goodness. Big one for the listeners here. Big one for the family of myself and Juliana and Ron. Golden State Warriors minus 5 favorites on the spread, 195 on the money line at 10 p.m. tip off. I don't know any injury reports at this point, but it looks like you can get player props on everybody.
For pretty much the whole slate of players except Precious Achiuwa. I was hoping, you know, you don't normally get them from the bench guys because you don't know exactly how they're going to be deployed. But I was thinking, Precious, if you could find an over on his points, he's been playing really well lately. He's been used more lately. I think there's a little bit of confidence there in him and his role. And he's, you know, he's got confidence in himself, clearly shooting the ball the way he has been of late. I think he only missed one from inside the 3-point line in the last game for the Raptors with a big scoring night. So if you can find that, I think it is pretty off market. But if the only one I had in mind was Precious on an over tonight.
Warriors are 18-6 at home. Raptors are trying to ride a little bit of momentum, though. So I don't know how this one goes. It'll be a great game regardless. Warriors minus 5 kind of feels like a good bet. I mean, they're the Golden State Warriors. Steph was ejected from the game on Wednesday. He's got a little chip on his shoulder.
The Warriors are still trying to find it. I think they're 500 on the season, which is obviously surprising. They're like in play-in mode, but they seem like a sleeping giant, right? They seem like a team, mm-hmm. like don't let them in the playoffs because you know what's going to happen if they get there. I'm not sure they're quite there yet. Can they measure up to a team like Denver? Maybe not even the Memphis Grizzlies. I think they got that overtime victory over Memphis when Steph got ejected. But it just seems like don't let them get hot. And historically, I'd say this is a bit of a mismatch. 5 points, I'd be leaning towards the Warriors every day of the week this way. But the Raptors showed something in their last game, and maybe they're galvanized by the situation. We'll see what happens.
All right, so before that, though, you got Sens visiting the Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs minus 235 on the money line, over-under set at 6.5. Puck lines juiced with plus 102. Oh, we got a couple of puck line picks in the text line. I will say it is the next generation game, and notoriously Mitch Marner does very well in these games. I don't know what it is. He loves to play for the kids. He gets to go off on next gen games. I think if you're looking at props, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, shocking, I know, but they have been quite dominant as of late, and they love next gen games. So
well, I'll go with the old guy on next gen game. I guess I'm zagging a little bit. I was looking at Austin Matthews anytime goal scorer for my Wake and Rake pick, but minus 145 on an anytime goal scorer is a little ridiculous.
Yeah,
so instead,
hefty.
I will go to the hot hand, and at least the guy that's putting him in scoring position or putting himself in scoring position more often than not. Back to back 8-shot games for John Tavares, plus 100 right now at 3.5 shots on the over. I'm taking that. John Tavares is my Wake and Rake selection at player shots over 3.5 plus 100.
All right. That's definitely a popular pick in the text line. All right. Let's go through text line and then I'll pick mine after. Okay. Let's start with Allie in Toronto. Wake and Rake, she's going to fade the Pacers, give me Milwaukee on the spread. And also she likes Fred over points, hit it in the last 4 out of 5.
Chris from Mississauga likes Scotty Barnes over 4.5. 5 assists. He's hit that 7 of the last 10. That's I kind of like that number. I could I could be convinced.
Okay. Cody in St. Catharines also likes Tavares over 3.5 shots.
Okay. Eric from Burlington is trying to console me. Says, Justin, don't feel bad. The NHL was on drugs last night. Mm-hmm. Coyotes, Ducks, Blackhawks put up 5 and Boston lost in regulation. Hand up, did not see that coming. To get back on track, he's picking the Leafs on the puck line. Ottawa has scored 4 goals in their last 3 games total. A little scared with Matt Murray, expected in net, but confident the Leafs get the job done. He's also feeling the Eagles and Bengals in the Super Bowl, so bet accordingly, he says.
Okay, where are we here? Oh, you're reading this one.
Yes.
Are you going? You're reading this one.
I just read the last one.
Yeah, but we discussed that you are better at pronouncing these names.
Okay. Good morning. Sorry, I'm not following along that closely. Wake and Rake selection of Tsitsipas, 3.5 games, got the win last night. Even if you had 4.5 games, it covered, but only barely. Women's final tonight at the Aussie Open. Mm-hmm. Rybakina at +110 on the money line over Sabalenka. This is our boy Neil. Rybakina has already taken the world number one, Iga Swiatek, in straight sets and broke through last year, winning Wimbledon for the first time. I kind of agree. Rybakina over Sabalenka +110 at the Australian Open final.
And then he's got an alt parlay pick, though.
That would be RB Leipzig, 1.5 game spread over Stuttgart. Okay, this is why you got me to go.
Yeah,
Neil.
Let's go, buddy.
In the Bundesliga, Leipzig unbeaten in 15 matches, chasing Bayern Munich for the top spot in the league. Leipzig rolling over a bottom team in the league. Neil likes that as well.
All right, thanks for that. Corey in Port Hope, Sebastian Aho over power play points at +160. It's just set at 0.5. So.
Okay, we got the long one here from Ron and from Mark.
But I highlighted the important parts.
Matt Murray and the Leafs on the puck line.
Yeah.
Juliana's got Jordan Poole over 21.5 points in the Raptors. Mm-hmm. He likes KC and San Fran in the Super Bowl, and they're wishing a happy birthday to Ron's wife and Juliana's mom, Michelle, tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Her birthday is tomorrow on January 28th.
That's wonderful. She didn't send in the pic, though, so come on, Michelle. We need the whole family in here. Adam in the truck's got a couple. Morgan Riley power play point at +275 if he keeps going on the power play. They're really trying to get him a point there. Leafs on the over. Like that a lot. Fred over 3.5 three-pointers on a shooter's night.
Notice how that's not an anytime goal for Morgan Riley.
Just a point.
This is from Anonymous, but Justin needs to find a Crunch Fitness class to do a HIIT boot camp.
Oops, I didn't really
Insta.
Mean to put that in there. Just copy and paste that.
I thought you put that in there Sorry. On purpose to chirp me, but go ahead with the last two.
Robert in downtown, Leafs and Sens over, which is a lock. And then Tim and Allison says Miami Heat -6.5 at home versus the Magic.
Okay, a lot there. I kind of think since we've taken from the Leafs that we should highlight something with the Raptors, and I kind of am feeling the Scotty Barnes over 4.5 assists from Christmas Saga.
All right, let's do it then. Let me grab that. I'm seeing it 5.5.
A little different than 4.5.
How about we just say 4.5? If you find it at 4.5, you find it at 4.5.
Okay.
I mean, there's like 75 different books out there.
Yeah, but it might not be readily available, but okay, we'll put
it
in 4.5.
Let me look at one other book right now while I have it in my hands. Player props. Assists. It is 4.5 in another book, so okay. You get to go 4.5.
And you got to make your selection, so let's do that now.
I will be doing Maple Leafs sends over 6.5 goals. Matt Murray's in net. You never know how that's going to go. As I said, these guys want to go off on next-gen night. Maple Leafs have been
next-gen games have been crazy.
They have been
Didn't they have like an epic comeback over
there
the Flyers?
There has been
Not
only,
epic, but it was an exciting game. They had that game against Carolina that was off the wall like a couple years ago.
They've had lots of fun.
It brings out the best in them. Childlike qualities.
That's right.
Lack of discipline. I don't know, but it's the next-gen game, and next-gen games are usually exciting.
It is. It's going to be good. So, altogether, we've got over 6.5 in your Leafs and the Sens tonight. Over 3.5 shots by John Tavares. And Scotty Barnes over 4.5 assists. If you can find it at 4.5, it might be at 5.5, but fine. We're putting it officially at 4.5.
Okay. And we got some love for Rybakina at the Australian Open final. RB Leipzig, if you really want to get aggressive. and that's, I guess, it for the alt parlay selections.
So our Wake and Rake is officially +602. We have two other ones. Gary from Caledon, Dylan Brooks under. Forgot about that. That is becoming a Hall of Fame pick. And we also have Geez, they're coming in quick here. Tyler from Peterborough, McCann over 2.5 shots, or Jimmy Butler over on threes.
Didn't we set some ground rules? Don't you have to be in by 8:30?
Yeah, but what are we going to deny our loyal listeners?
Sometimes we got to be, you know, hard line, hard stance.
Well, it's Friday. 8:30 cutoff. We're trying to be nice to people. And
okay.
Maybe it'll give us good karma this weekend with our pick aside.
And you decide to get the thing about my fitness in there to make sure that
I didn't even paste that in there. Sometimes it's just like, go, go, go.
Oh, is that the guys in the back?
Yeah. So Leafs hosting the Sens tonight, Battle of Ontario, next generation game. Raptors on the road against the Golden State Warriors at 10 p.m. Saturday, just the Raptors playing the Portland Trailblazers also at 10 p.m. And then, of course, Sunday, San Francisco 49ers at the Eagles at 3 p.m., Bengals at the Chiefs at 6:30, and wedged in between, Maple Leafs host the Washington Capitals at 5 p.m.
Conference championship weekend going to live up to the hype, Ailish?
I seriously think it will. I also really hope it will.
Last weekend was a downer.
This is going to, look at the, we just said, it's probably the best four teams that we wanted to see. Maybe
I could,
the Bills.
I could see a scenario, personally, where it's like Eagles running away, Patrick Mahomes not right. Pretty obvious where that goes.
Well, then
goes
we'd be happy because those are our predictions for
I
the
guess
Super
so.
Bowl.
And that probably won't happen because I have an invested interest in both those things.
All right. What a fun week on the Fan Morning Show. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you have a beautiful, wonderful weekend. Justin, get looking at that snowman while the snow is still on the ground. All right.
That's my weekend activity.
Okay. Chat with you Monday.